We'll call the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order at approximately 10:20. The date is February 2nd. And present at the committee table are Representative Munoz, Representative Book, Vice Chair Keller, Representative Kawasaki, myself, Representative Edgman. In front of the committee today, we have House Bill 227, which proposes to create hunting and fishing reserve in the Holitna area. And before we call the bill sponsor to the table, I'd like to remind everyone about the cell phones. Ask if you would please silence your phones, if you would. Public testimony is still open, so we will go online and ask if there's any further public testimony online, and certainly here in the committee room as well. We should have on phone with the Department of Natural Resources, Dick Milius, and also Department of Law, Kevin Saxby. And we do have a zero fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources, and we also have a letter of support from the Board of Fisheries, signed by the chairman on behalf of House Bill 227. Representative Book.
Thank you, Chairman. In lieu of the fact that we're acknowledging reserves and critters and kinds of things like that, today is, after all, Marmot Day in the state of Alaska. And I know your tremendous support in the past of recognition of state holidays it has been so overwhelming that I know that it was just a very small oversight on your part not to bring it up.
Today was Marmot Day. There's a shadow across the committee table right in front of you, Representative Book. I guess it must be Marmot Day after all.
Representative Munoz. If I can add to that, Marmot Day made national news.
Did it? Did
you? No, I didn't.
On the radio today.
Well, wow. Representative Book, thank you for keeping us up to date on all issues, small and large. Not seeing any additional comments or questions from committee members. Representative Herron, do you want to come to the table as a bill sponsor and your staff if need be? What I'd like to do, Representative, is just to ask if you have any additional comment before we go to public testimony since last week when you first heard the bill.
Mr. Chairman, there were some questions for Kevin Saxby that we haven't got answers on yet because he's been real busy with the Board of Fish. And then the boundaries of the reserve have not been completely defined, and we're working with DNR on that, and I would suggest to the committee that they let DNR have the time to work on that, and I've worked with a co-chair of resources that we could completely define all the boundaries in the next committee referral, if that's the wishes of this committee. But other than that, I'm available for questions, and of course, the people that you have online could help us out as well.
Representative Keller.
Yeah, Representative Herron, I would not at all stand in the way. I'll be in support of moving the bill on to resources where it'll get vetted further. But I was wondering if you'd given thought to this is a kind of a maybe a it's kind of a fuzzy question, but I want to give you a chance to respond to it. We, in our state, in statute, we manage game for abundance, and establishing a reserve for the same purpose, it makes me wonder what that will do or what, to the overall management principles that are being applied to the state. In other words, it seems to me like you're taking one area and you're saying that we're going to manage this area for abundance, okay? And I'm saying, well, why do we need to do that? We manage the state game and fish for abundance. So why are we... it just seems like I'm a little worried that it'll diminish the overall game management principles that are being applied in the state. And I'd like you to respond to that.
I'll attempt to, through the chair, Representative Keller, I'll attempt to answer that. Then I would ask Kevin Saxby to weigh in on probably more broader implications of it. But, you know, we do intensive management of mostly game, but we do intensive management now by regulation of the Board of Game and then a Board of Fish. And so, yes, indeed, this would be the first time that we would put in statutes essentially intensive management. And management not only of, to make sure that the fish habitat produces good stock for generations, and as well as animals that are normally consumed by humans, moose, caribou, et cetera. Those are maximized. And as well, in an intensive management areas that we have now, for example, McGrath, is that you also manage predators. And so it would provide a reserve that would do that. Basically, is it's intensive management for abundance of human consumption. That is the focus of this reserve. But for a more broader global look at it, I would defer to Kevin Saxby.
Mr. Saxby, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Did you want to offer any additional comments?
I guess a little bit. The current statutory mandate to manage intensively for game is limited to certain ungulate species that are identified by the Board of Game as being important for high levels of human use. And in the area we're talking about, practically speaking, that comes down to moose. The way this bill is written, it's a much broader mandate to manage, in general, fish and game for high levels of use. So the department would be, the state would be likely to interpret that as requiring, for example, fur bearers be managed for abundance as well, and even predators to the extent that they can, to the extent that the balance of predator versus prey also allows for management of higher than numbers of predators, assuming there's an important human use of those predators. And fish, too. All those would come under the rubric, not just ungulates.
Follow-up, Representative Keller?
No, that helps. Thank you, Kevin.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yeah, I have a question just for follow-up for Kevin. So how would you, I mean, I guess how would you manage a population when you're competing, say, between ungulate populations and wolf or and then I have a second part of the question.
Well, you might want to put that to a biologist better, but I can give you some testimony based on what I've heard in my 18 years of working with the Board of Game. And being their attorney. I think what you'd hear is that populations fluctuate, and the predator population is often high when the prey population is low and vice versa. And if we can even out those fluctuations through active human management, we can manage the prey population at a higher than would otherwise be the case level and make the fluctuations much smaller and keep it fairly constant. And we can also then allow predator populations to be at a level that doesn't fluctuate down as low as they might otherwise do if the natural fluctuations were there. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, and so it sounds like the decision would be, the Board of Game would sort of make decisions based on those numbers at regular meetings.
With the department's help, yes. Department of Fish and Game's help, yes.
I have another question.
Representative Kawasaki.
Is there any other instance in state law where there's where fish are managed for population in similar to this bill in the reserve?
For a population, fish. The word that's used in the statutes is fish stocks, and games are referred to as populations.
Okay, so there are other instances.
Fish stocks typically, to the extent they can be identified and separately managed, yes, they are managed on the stock basis. in many areas of the state, they can't be separately identified and managed, and so the area is managed as a mixed stock fishery.
Thank you.
But where it can be done, it often is done.
Okay. Any additional questions for the bill sponsor, Representative Munoz?
For Mr. Saxby, please.
Representative Munoz.
Okay. On page 2 and line 7, talking about the Holitna River Basin Hunting and Fishing Trapping Reserve established to ensure management and protection of fish and wildlife populations and habitat to perpetuate subsistence use, commercial use, and other substantive uses. Is other substantive uses personal use fisheries and hunting categories, or could you explain that definite or that area of the bill to me, or maybe the bill sponsor?
I would defer to Kevin.
Mr. Saxby?
The uses, the consumptive uses that I'm aware of do include personal use, so you're absolutely right. That's a fish use. There is no identified personal use for game, but so subsistence and personal use and sport fishing is separately identified, and commercial fishing. Those are all identified fish consumptive uses. And then on the game side, you'd have subsistence use, general hunting, and then you'd also have trapping.
Okay. And does the bill establish a priority through the wording there, or would it be kind of equally managed for those three areas?
We wouldn't read that as establishing, among those consumptive uses that I just listed, I don't think we'd read this language as establishing a preference. The subsistence law that is on the books now certainly does establish a preference.
And if we could have the record reflect that Representative Millett has joined us at the committee.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, not seeing any additional comments or questions, I'd next like to go to public testimony. As you might recall, when this bill first came up, we had some miscommunication with the LIO, and I think it was announced in some areas wrongly that the meeting had been canceled, so that made it difficult for some people who wanted to testify to come forward. So with that, we do have a few people online. I would like to go to the Bethel site. And Dave Trantham, are you there, Dave? Dave Trantham, are you online? Apparently not. Yes, good morning, Dave. Can you offer your name and any affiliation and start your testimony, please?
Good morning. My name is Dave Trantham. I represent, I spell my name T-R-A-N-T-H-A-M. I represent myself, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, all Alaskans.
Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank Representative Herron for introducing this legislation. We live out in the bush country. We call the Holitna and the Holitna area our escape from hell to heaven. We do. If we want to get away from home and go fishing in that area, and I like this bill, and I encourage you to support this bill if you possibly can. It gives us something for the future. If I could give you an example, Mr. Chairman, the great parks and reserves in the continental U.S., they have been reserved for the people of the future. The people of the present can use it, but it's preserved for the people of the future. Our great-great-great-great-grandchildren, for generations to come. This is the thrust of my testimony, a very long time Alaskan. All my time has been spent in Western Alaska from Little Dimete to Bethel. Bethel is my home. Whatever you can do to preserve this great piece of beautiful country for our future generations, that's the thrust. I appeal to you to do whatever you can to reserve this piece of heaven for our future generations. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, for your testimony. Any comments or questions from the committee? Not seeing any. I've also got listed Greg Rozichka. And Greg, we did get your testimony earlier. Were you wishing to testify a second time or add additional comments?
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman. I had understood under committee it was kind of protocol that since I did testify at last week's meeting, it was more just to let you know that I'm here and available for any questions since, you know, I was one of the primary drafters of this bill working with Department of Law and Department of Fish and Game over the last couple of years and putting it together, you know, along with Representative Heron.
Okay.
I was going to mention it, but it's been stated to you already about the Fish Board weighing in and supporting the bill. So,
okay.
Other than that, I didn't have anything further than what I offered to you last week.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Greg. Is there anyone else at the Bethel site who wishes to testify?
Yeah, this is Grant Fairbanks. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you repeat your name, please? I didn't quite get that.
First name is Grant, and my last name is Fairbanks, like the city.
Okay. Grant, if you could put yourself on the record by identifying who you obviously gave us your name, but any affiliations or who you're representing?
In the past, I have represented the village of Sleepmute, and more importantly, I represent the Holitna River.
Okay, will you offer your testimony, please?
Okay, the last hearing, some of you people who were there, you heard what I had to say, but for those new people there, I've lived in
Grant,
studied the Holitna River for the...
Grant, I'm going to jump in here. You did testify the previous time, didn't you?
That's correct.
And I just, to be fair, I just, talking with Greg, we had gotten his testimony earlier, so I'm gonna keep consistent with the principle of taking public testimony once on this bill. The legislation obviously has a pretty good chance of coming up in another committee. You'll get another opportunity to testify at it. So that was my oversight. So I'm going to hold firm with allowing you the one opportunity, and any written testimony or any additional comments would certainly be welcome from you as well, Grant. So I apologize for that, and I'm going to ask if there's anyone else at the Bethel site. If not, we will go to Anchorage. Okay, not hearing anyone at the Bethel site. Aaron Bloomquist at the Anchorage LIO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Aaron Bloomquist. I'm the chairman of the Anchorage Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and I live in District 28. We voted on December 10th, kind of in general support of this bill at our advisory committee meeting. One of the big things we hope this would probably spread to other, quote, breadbasket regions of the state. We think in general it's a good idea to kind of solidify intensive management in, you know, in many areas of the state, but kind of we feel this is a good start. We're generally a pro-abundance management and pro-development bent to our committee, if you will, and we discussed some of the, you know, the ramifications on development and felt this may add, you know, an extra step, but certainly wouldn't eliminate any development in the area. And maybe it'll help in the future and future administrations when abundance management and predator control comes under attack again, which is probably, you know, in the near future. Maybe not the near future, but in the future for sure. That's all I've got, just kind of general comments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blomquist. Any questions here at the committee table? Not seeing any. Is there anyone else at the Anchorage site who wishes to testify this morning? Apparently there is not. Is there anyone else on the teleconference network who wishes to testify on House Bill 227? Not hearing so. Is there anyone here in the committee room? Not seeing anyone. I will at this time close public testimony. Committee discussion on House Bill 227. It's my understanding that, as mentioned at the start of the meeting, that we do have a zero fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources. We also, again, have a letter of support directed towards the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, support on behalf of House Bill 227 from the Board of Fisheries, signed by the Board Chairman. Mr. Miley from Department of Natural Resources. Dick, did you have any additional comments?
Mr. Chairman, no. I'm just available to answer any questions for DNR.
Okay. Thank you, Dick. Not seeing any amendments on the table.
Just one question.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thanks. Just one question for Dick. Assuming this legislation passes and bless you.
Sorry.
we actually do put this basin into a reserve. How does that impact upstream users, like for instance for mining or for natural gas development in that area? Would that have an impact on the department as far as their determination on what happens?
Representative Kawasaki, to the chair. It would be one additional consideration that would have to go into any sort of permitting or leasing decisions for that area. We'd have to make sure that any decisions about those activities is consistent with the intent of the legislation. And the one specific thing it would have an impact on is that it would prohibit any land sales. There is one area that's identified for potential land sales in the very upper part of the watershed, so that would actually preclude any future land sales up there.
Follow-up, Representative Kawasaki. Additional questions for Mr. Miles while we have him online. Representative Munoz.
I noted in the support materials that there are a number of private parcels adjoining this proposed reserve area. Would private ownership rights be at all affected with this new designation?
Representative Munoz, through the chair, it would not. Well, the legislation specifically addresses the issue of providing access to those, so access is assured by the legislation, and the private lands are not subject to the game refuge other than, like I say, where they're accessing it across state lands.
Okay.
Additional questions, Representative Munoz?
Okay. If we could just get that, if the sponsor could point out in the bill where that protection exists, that would... Oh, I see it. Okay, it's 19.
Okay, got it. Mr. Chairman, yes, the bill actually uses the word guarantee access.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Is that good?
I got a follow-up on that.
Representative Kawasaki?
A follow-up to the representative's question dealing with the private ownership of those lands. Are those lands mining claims? Are they gas leases? Are they... Just,
and we'll direct it to the bill sponsor, Representative Aaron.
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. For the most part, on the west side of the proposed reserve, there are mining claims that have been there for anywhere from a couple of years to 100 years. There are native allotments and there are homesteads. Would indicate the majority of the private inholdings.
Follow-up.
Has the sponsor or the department made any attempts to contact the folks who own leases within the area of the reserve to ensure that they know that there's a potential change to their land status?
I'm unaware of actual, through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, I'm unaware of there being that process done, but the issue has been around for much longer than we've actively been working on it. I mean, this effort, because of the so many fish species being this basically is their spawning grounds, this effort has been going on for 30 years. And so actually the people, the miners that live in very remote locations are from my understanding, are very supportive of this. And of course the one of the people in the Bethel LIO, Grant Fairbanks, is essentially a big part of helping people in the region figure out a way to reserve this piece of heaven that Mr. Trantham talked about. So yes, you're not talking about a lot of people in a very, very large area. The Sleep Mute, Stony, 100, one community, 50 another, and then the people that have in holdings in that area are far and few between.
Representative Kawasaki. I'd like to have the record reflect that Representative Johnson has joined us. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
Pardon my tardiness.
Representative Millett.
I have a question. On that same vein, is so development of those 165 parcels of private land, let's just say one of those old mining claims wants to develop, are they guaranteed that right to develop, or does this add some more permitting issues for them? Are their rights protected as grandfather rights in, and or does this lay over top of their grandfather rights?
Through the chair, Representative Millett, is I would defer to Dick Milius, but it's not the intent to stop these types of extraction activities, because they're part of the history of the basin. So it's you know, I would characterize it is that the historical makeup of that basin, mining is a very important part of its history.
Follow up, Representative Miller.
If we could have Mr. Milius.
Mr. Milius, comments.
Representative Miller, to the chair. Yeah, as Representative Herron pointed out earlier, the bill only applies to state-owned land. That's specific in the first sentence of the legislation there. And so any privately owned lands are not subject to it other than access, so it would not be any sort of additional restriction on those. The exception to that is state mining claims, because that's still state land, so any development on those mining claims would have to be consistent with the purposes of the Holetna River Game Reserve.
Follow up, Representative Millett.
Representative Herron, have you thought about exempting those claims so they wouldn't have that?
I would, through the chair, Representative Millett, I would reserve a you know, conference with the people of that election district and the supporters in Bethel, but I'm sure that they'd all be willing to consider it in the next committee if it leaves this committee.
Okay. Any additional comments or questions while we deliberate the bill? There are no amendments on the table. And Representative Johnson, did you have any sort of last questions before this bill?
No, Mr. Chairman, I have spoken with the sponsor, and I support moving this bill out of committee today. I do want some clarification on the mining aspect, but I realize this is the fishing committee, and that might be a committee handled in the next committee, which is the total resource committee. So as far as the fishing aspect of this goes and the purview of this committee, I'm fine with what's in this bill right now.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Keller.
Mr. Chair, with that in mind, I would move that make a motion that we move sponsor substitute for House Bill 227, version 26, LS0822 kilo, with two attached zero fiscal notes, out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objections? Not hearing any objections. The bill is so moved. And just a quick reminder: we will not be meeting on Thursday, and we'll pick up our meeting time at next Tuesday at the regularly scheduled time. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting at approximately 10 minutes to 11.